MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio. We are live on June the 8th, 2017. It is 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. on the West Coast. There is so much going on in the world today, I don't even know where to start. Really, this entire week, there are elections going on in the UK right now, of course. There was the Comey testimony today, and we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But there's so much else going on that I think that they're using Comey, whether news or not news, they're using it to cover up from distractions, of course, for stuff that's going on with our foreign policy, what's new, and what the United States is trying to get away with tonight. Breaking news, by the way, I want to make sure everybody is aware of what's going on in Raqqa in Syria right now. It appears there is video footage. We have it up right now on the antimedia.org. If you want to check out under on the left-hand column under the Our News section, U.S.-backed forces in Raqqa as coalition drops white phosphorus bombs. What appears to be in this video, it's white phosphorus appears to be, all you do is you have the video, it could be cluster bombs maybe, but if you've ever seen what white phosphorus dropping down on a city looks like, it's very, very, very similar. We actually saw this earlier this week. With Iraq, they were doing the same thing in Mosul, the Iraqi army, and that was caught on video as well. We posted that just yesterday on the anti-media as well. But before we get into the rest of this, and there's, of course, a ton to talk about, I want to go ahead and bring on Shannon Madden. Shannon, what is up?
Living the dream, Mr. Gibson. How about you?
Doing better than a lot, so no reason to complain. Man, there's just a ton going on in the world, like right this very second. We've got this breaking news out of Syria.
No, there's not. All it is the Comey and Trump thing, man. That's it. That's the only news that there is. Don't worry about all that other stuff. That's a million miles from here. We need to be focused right now on how important this – did we really learn anything today?
No, and here's the thing, and – real quick, we'll go ahead and address this because it's what.
Yeah, because I want to get this out of the way so we can actually talk about some real news for once. Because this is so, this is all just. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I watched the whole thing, and you see people on the right. You see Trump, his camp. They're celebrating. You even see somebody like Chris Matthews came out today and said, you know, it's disappointing. There's nothing there. This isn't the smoking gun. It's time to move on, I guess. And then you see other people on the left that are just, you know, oh, this is it. We're so close. We're going to get him. Did you hear what Comey said? Yada, yada, yada. And truthfully, what happened today was a giant circus. It Nothing happened. That's what happened. Everything is the exact same today as it was yesterday. We know exactly the same, other except maybe that Comey leaked some information to his professor friend at Columbia, and Loretta Lynch, she didn't look wonderful because of she said to use the word matter instead of investigation to him. And then the flip side is Trump said, well, we hope, you know, you don't go after Flynn, blah, blah, blah. But it's all just nonsense. Nothing's going to happen to Loretta Lynch because of what happened today. Nothing's going to happen to Trump because of what happened today. It was just a big circus, and both sides can take their victory and act like, oh, it was this huge thing happened. No.
Yeah, because if you look past, you know, actual, you know, all of the partisan, you know, talking points, there wasn't anything. We didn't learn anything. I mean,
we didn't.
Anything that was actually going to affect the course of American history, anything that was going to affect whether Donald Trump was going to be possibly impeached or there be some information come forth that was going to be damning and we got to have a congressional hearing right now and sort this whole thing out, yada, yada. There was none of that. It was a dog and pony show. It's all it was.
It was, and I get a little bit if you're Trump himself, you know, being like, I told you, because he was, you know, the Comey, which we already knew, but they ask it in such weird ways that Trump himself was never under investigation. I think we've been aware of that for some time, but the way media spins things and the way the people on Capitol Hill spin things because of their own agenda, you know, it's all these murky stuff. And if you're not paying attention to exactly what's going on and know that what you've learned is true and stop paying attention to the talking heads, it was pretty much understood that Trump himself was not under investigation. We shall see what happens moving forward. I just don't think today was a huge, massive deal.
It wasn't a deal at all. There wasn't. I mean, there was nothing. It was a bunch of vague, possibly could be, you know, supposedly. I mean, there wasn't anything really super heavy duty concrete that, again, that affect or affected or shaped the course of American history. I don't see it.
No, you're totally right about that. I mean, it was just, you know, a little bit
a bunch of partisan talking points.
It was
a way for Fox News to kind of thumb their nose at everybody else because there was nothing there. There really was much ado about nothing. And meanwhile, now we can get to the real news.
And what's new when it comes to Washington politics? But, okay, so tonight, and this is huge, can I sit here and confirm to you that this is white phosphorus falling down on Syria right now, the United States? I cannot. What I can tell you is there is video of something going on in Syria right now in Raqqa, which is a city that's been in control, ISIS control for a while, but there's civilians there, and this will definitely affect civilians. First off, war crime. We talk about Assad and his chemical weapons. Well, let me go look up white phosphorus and the effects of that. And first off, if you want to and don't believe that this is what this is a video of, which, again, it's right now up on the antimedia.org, go what it looks like coming down, and maybe you can prove it wrong and prove that it's something else. And then look at the effects of it. It's not good. And we've seen the United States use this before. We've seen Israel use it before. We saw Iraq using it just this week. Plus, earlier today and earlier this week, on Tuesday, the United States attacked pro-Assad forces. Today, the United States attacked pro-Assad forces, plus shooting down a drone that they said was dropping a weapon too close to ISIS, which, again, for anybody that is paying attention to anything that's going on in the region, Assad and Syria, for whatever they are at war with ISIS as well. He does not want them in his country. So you know, that doesn't make a ton of sense. But we've seen U.S. foreign policy just ramping up even more, and it seems like that you've had the smokescreen of today and Comey. The news started breaking like 30 minutes after he started testifying, which I think it went about, 2.5 hours or something of that nature. About 30 minutes after, you start getting reports of this is kicking off in Syria right now. The whole region is a mess, of course, with what happened with Qatar earlier this week and them just kind of getting shunned and booted by the Saudis and all their pals, Egypt, the whole coalition. And for depending on who you're listening to for the reasons behind that, but basically it has to do with Iran and natural gas and money and what's new. Then we saw the terror attack in Iran yesterday. One took place at the Iranian parliament, another took place at a mausoleum for the Ayatollah Khomeini. And today, the U.S. Senate was trying to push through sanctions on Iran a day after this attack. The statement that was released by the White House last night basically said, well, if you're going to, you know, fund terror, if you're going to be a part of all this stuff, this is what you get, kind of a thing. I didn't know if it was Trump trying to be, you know, cute, or if it was written by Ron Paul explaining to people what blowback is. Nobody seems to understand when these horrific events and these innocent people are attacked in the West, which we've seen two major attacks in the UK in recent weeks were just horrific. Nobody wants to go that next step and go, wow, this is happening because of blowback, even though the people that are taking credit for these attacks are saying it's because of your foreign policy. Nobody wants to address what's really going on, of course, what's new. We are seeing the Middle East just in shambles. We are seeing the hypocrisy of the U.S. We are seeing the hypocrisy of the West. And it's coming to a boiling point. I think the situation with Iran, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Syria, we are definitely going in a direction that we do not want to be going down. With what we're seeing in the UK tonight, if Jeremy Corbyn does end up possibly taking and becoming the prime minister, will he have a more strict foreign policy when it comes to Saudi Arabia? He's definitely verbalized that he wants nothing to do with Saudi Arabia. And of course, we know what Theresa May is about. It's the same as the U.S. She's in bed with them. It's possible. Does that mean it will change? It's hard to say, because you heard Trump talking about Saudi Arabia, and then you saw him accepting an award just, about a month ago from the King Salman in Saudi Arabia. Corbyn is a little bit more hardline in his language about it and in his degree of foreign policy. But, you know, will it change? Who knows? That's going on tonight. For those of you who aren't paying attention, right now it's being projected that there's going to be a hung parliament, which means that the 326 members of parliament that it takes for a party to be in control of parliament, what it would be Labour or the Conservative Party, the Tories. The person that gets to 326, well, then their leader of their party then becomes prime minister. It doesn't appear right now, and the exit polling shows that neither party getting to that number, which means it would be a hung parliament. But this is all going on tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and kind of get your overall view of everything I just spewed out, Shannon, because I know I just went down a long list of stuff.
Yeah, where to begin? You know, again, let's go back to the word blowback for a moment, because that's a word that's been tossed around a few times on this show, particularly whenever we've had Justin King on. That's a term he likes to use a lot, too, because it's very true. When we talk about the United States creating ISIS, with, you know, it's pretty much like a top. we kind of set that top into motion at that first spin. And each and every time that we go over and try to shoot three terrorists and wind up killing, you know, 40 civilians in the process to fight terror, that's what we create. That's the gasoline that we keep throwing on the fire. That's us continuing to spin that top and make sure as it slows down to keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Now, there are people out there that will argue, well, then that's just all the more reason. If we go in there and we issue our brand of justice and our brand of freedom, and they don't really appreciate that, and they want to go ahead and strap bombs on themselves and go attack people in European countries and so on and so forth, well, that's fine. We'll send more planes. We'll bomb more countries, and ultimately bombing and killing more civilians and displacing them and, you know, sending them into pretty much just a hell on earth. I'm sorry, man. You know, put yourself in those people's position. Put yourself as far as them walking down the street and tonight in Raqqa, for instance, walking down the street and seeing, you know, something as devastating as a white phosphorus attack, and knowing, seeing an American tank go by or an American Humvee go by. Next thing you know, it's like, well, man, it's them Americans again. We've got to do something about these Americans. My government's just not taking strong enough stance. Then, of course, you pepper that with a lot of strong religious beliefs and people with other very strong feelings about it. And bear in mind, you know, a lot of things have been said about the Muslim religion. But if you listen to a lot of conservative Christians and the language that they use and some of the things that they have to say, it sounds very, 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 very similar to hardline Muslim talk. You know, that we hear out of the mosques, you know, the video, the one little video that'll pop up on the BuzzFeed or whatever about the one hardline, you know, imam coming to the mosque and talking about, you know, all of the hardline Muslim issues and being very hardline Muslim about it. And people put that up on their page. And yeah, that's why we need to kill these people and so on and so forth. And it's the amount of conditioning that it's gone into in the American, the general American populace, as far as their feeling toward every single person from that area, is just frightening. It really is.
Well, you know, that goes back to people living in fear and human nature, and it doesn't resort back to a certain religion or even a certain country. This is all people, and it's dealing with the people head on, whoever they are. Just because they wave a certain flag or subscribe to a certain ideology, it's still just a group of people. Real quick, though, I want to drop a little more breaking news, is that Jeremy Corbyn is now calling on Theresa May to resign as prime minister. It's looking a little bit, it's getting iffier for her, and if she is going to continue being the prime minister of the United Kingdom, and it's really not looking good. For those that keep up with it as well, Nick Clegg, he was the deputy prime minister for a while. He was part of the Liberal Democratic Party. He lost his seat, which is actually a huge deal. So things are kind of taking a different turn than people have expected right now in the UK. And it's, we will see what happens and where this goes.
Ultimately, though, I mean, what exactly, when we have either outcome, what exactly are we going to expect?
Corbyn is extremely, extremely different. He's a massive socialist and social programs for the country. And there's a lot to take issue with him for, but at the same time, he's hardline foreign policy. And he seems a bit more of a, think of it like this. It's more Bernie Sanders, taking the helm. Again, I don't know what will change, if anything, but it's feasible and possible that some things will. It's, you don't know, and you have to wait and see, especially with the character. Now, of course, if Theresa May and then the Tories pull it out, and Theresa May continues to be the prime minister, well, guess what? We know what the result's going to be. We know what the end outcome's going to be. But this was actually Jeremy Corbyn's statement. This is breaking right now. The prime minister called the election because she wanted a mandate. Well, the mandate she got is lost conservative seats. It's lost votes, lost support, and lost confidence. I would have thought that is enough for her to go, actually. And of course, this is all kind of in the post-aftermath, whatever you want to call it, of the Brexit and leading up to the official Brexit and breaking away from the European Union. It does intertwine with what's happening in the United States, especially with foreign policy. We shall see where it goes. It's interesting. I don't know. We've seen the UK very, very much aligned with Saudi Arabia. They train a lot of the UK, trains a lot of the police officers in Saudi Arabia. They actually go to the UK to receive training.
A very important job, I might add.
And which people don't know or understand that, they go and travel to the UK, they get training. That's not technically supposed to be happening, but it is happening, of course. And who knows? Will that change? We shall see where the next few hours and next few days will take us with the shape of the world and foreign policy. Because you must remember, and one reason this is important is that the United Kingdom, when it comes to especially the Middle East, but outside our borders, are very, very much an extension of the United States. You only have to go back and look at Tony Blair and George W. Bush and David Cameron and, Porky in that situation. And now Theresa Porky. May. Yeah, well, I had to throw it in. I can't mention David Cameron without throwing that in. But Corbyn could be drastically different. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say, I think he's going to pick. I don't believe that. I certainly don't believe that. If nothing changed, I wouldn't be shocked. But based on rhetoric, he is going to change the policy. So we'll see, and we'll see if he is the prime minister. At this rate, Theresa May not be, because she definitely wanted a mandate that she is certainly not receiving tonight. And it's ironic, too, especially with Comey today, with the elections going on tonight. We see the actions by the United States and the U.S. coalition going on in Syria today. They've got all this cover from all these huge stories that people are, glued to their televisions or to the internet to pay attention to. And while people are paying attention to this stuff, there's weapons of, chemical weapons, white phosphorus, whatever you want to call it, dropping down on Syria tonight. Not to mention the drone that was shot out with Syria, the other pro-Assad forces that have been attacked twice this week in Syria. So, and this needs to remind people as well, for the distractions, like people, everybody says, well, this is a false flag, this is a false flag. No. Not everything is a false flag. Does that happen sometimes? Of course it does. You'd have to be a fool not to believe that does take place. But the most important thing to know is they use anything that is as real as possibly can be, and they use that to provide cover for what they really want to accomplish. It's not like the elections tonight are a false flag. I mean, the elections are taking place. But that being said, it provides a good opportunity for the media to be discussing something on constant cycle where whatever they're doing in the Middle East, nobody's going to talk about it because everybody's too busy paying attention to James Comey, the NBA finals, and the UK elections. So this is how the machine and the establishment works, especially the military industrial complex.
Yeah. And to be fair, we're not officially at war with Syria, even though we are kind of attacking. Yeah. We're at war with Syria. That's kind of what this whole thing is really about. We're at war with Syria, but we're not at war with Syria. But hey, James Comey, the UK election, NBA finals, LeBron, greatest of all time. Nah.
Well,
we could do a whole show about that. In fact, why don't we just do the rest of the show about LeBron James versus Michael Jordan?
Because unfortunately, there's too many people doing shows about that and not enough shows about what's happening with.
Talking about white phosphorus dropping down on, you know, not only just the people that, you know, the quote unquote targets, but a lot of innocent people that have nothing to do with any of this foolishness are also caught in that fire. I mean, well, you know, Raqqa is a heavy, I mean, that's a metropolitan area. That's urban warfare.
Well, it is urban warfare. It's not like that they've been living in the lap of luxury. It's a city that has been besieged for quite a while. I mean, they have been under ISIS control, and it's gone back and forth, and they fought for the area for a while. But the U.S. troops are entering, or the coalition's entering it, and the Syrian forces. And so... What's going to come of this? I mean, this is all breaking. So a lot of it is you know, trying to predict the future and speculating. It's just a shame that we've seen stuff like this in the past and it doesn't receive attention. Nobody talks about which is a war crime. The war crimes committed by either side. I wanted to real quick. Let's see if I'm going to pull this up here. I think I had it up and then I closed it out. This was the actual statement yesterday about the attack in Iran. We grieve, and this is from via the White House. This is the official White House statement. We grieve and pray for the innocent victims of the terrorist attacks in Iran and for the Iranian people who are going through such challenging times. We underscore that states that sponsor terrorism risk falling victim to the evil they promote. That is a loaded little statement in just a few words, three little lines.
Sorry, Arabia.
Right. Well, but now we see which is something going on in Syria tonight that does not look very good, whether it turns out being cluster bombs or whatever it ends up being. It's definitely something that's not good. And it's happening under the watch of the U.S. coalition, if it's not the U.S. directly.
You guys want to be mad at Trump about something? Let's start here.
Oh,
this is real news, y'all. This is not fake news. This is not fabricated. This is something actively going on right now. We are at war with Syria. I think everybody needs
a lot of people. And the situation at Qatar is a big one too, because you have to remember a lot of this ends up going back towards Iran and. That's, I think,
because Iran is on the ground there in Syria, correct?
Yeah, and they've been fighting back ISIS. They are anti-ISIS, and the United States. Look, nobody is even kind of pretending that Iran is some bastion of freedom, because it is certainly not. And they certainly do their share of really, really messed up stuff. And I don't want anybody to get the impression that I don't realize that, because
pretty much kind of the same stuff that Saudi Arabia does out in the open. We condemn Iran for the same exact behaviors.
Yeah, I mean, they're up to whatever they're up to, but at the same time, they are helping fight against ISIS, because you have to remember that basically this all boils down to the Saudis. It's the Shia Sunni, and it's the Saudis and Iran that do not care for each other. That goes back to a lot of what's happened with Qatar this week. For another piece of news that people may not have seen today, Al Jazeera got hit with a major, major cyber attack. And, of course, that is based out of Qatar centrally, even though it goes all around the world. So we're seeing them push to the side, and you get Trump kind of being like it was his idea. Who knows what he's saying? He's just saying words, and it's kind of irrelevant. But it's interesting to me what the end game of this is going to be, because also the Qatar has an Air Force base, United States base, with about 11,000 troops stationed there. So it would be hard to believe that there's going to be some sort of Saudi invasion when you have, you know, 11,000 U.S. troops there. But if you see this alignment with Qatar and Iran, which is feasible because they are the largest natural gas reserves in the world are in Qatar, and this plot of land, I guess, where it's all at, it also bleeds over into Iran. So they share this this natural gas reserve. So to benefit each other, they you know have to deal with each other and yada yada yada. Well, the Saudis don't care for, and the whole Saudi coalition don't care for anybody dealing with Iran for anything whatsoever. That's the layman's version of what's going on. It's of course more complicated than that. But so because of which, and then even when Qatar was kind of kicked to the side this week, Iran came out and showed them support. So of the Houthi militia in Yemen, who Qatar has been involved in attacking for the past 2 years, they're even showing them support. So a convoluted Middle East is becoming even more convoluted and a lot murkier. I think we may see this alliance. I don't know. You know, this is we're kind of in a position we're seeing a lot unfold in front of our eyes, even just tonight. We're seeing a lot unfold, and it's just where are we going to go in the future, and what's going to be the end result of all these happenings. We shall see, but I can tell you this, you're not going to get those answers if you're continually just going, but Trump and Russia, but Trump and Russia, but Trump and Russia. And like, if you really think that's what's like the thing in the news, then, you know, I hate it for you, because you've missed everything. You've missed what's actually happening in the world. You're stuck in, you know, la-la land. This is where we're at.
It seems like Russia and Iran are also friendly with one another, too.
Well, yeah, that is correct. They definitely...
Yeah, so that might be a little bit of where all this Russia talk is coming from.
Speaking of Russian and more like neighbor of Russia, Ukraine, and this has not been hardly reported by anybody for whatever reason, just shortly after midnight, earlier today, less than 24 hours ago, at the United States Embassy in Ukraine, which is in Kiev, there was a terror attack, which it was small, I would say, and luckily no one was injured, and there was no structural damage to the building, but they're calling it a terrorist attack. It was determined that an unknown assailant threw an unidentified explosive device onto the grounds of the diplomatic mission. Criminal proceedings have been initiated under Article 258, which is the Terrorist Act of the Criminal Code of Ukraine. The U.S. Department of State issued a travel warning in 2016 for U.S. citizens of Ukraine, according to which the situation in Ukraine is unpredictable and could change quickly. Now, it seems like in the past, something like that taking place, even as small as it is, and thankfully no one was hurt, it seems like they would run with that a little bit further, but it's just gone totally ignored. I guess there's too much happening for that to be able to advance anyone's agenda at the current moment. Maybe they'll bring it up in like a week and be like, this thing happened last week or
well, and again, though, it's because nobody was killed. There was, you know, no structural damage. I mean, you know, there's a certain criteria that you have to meet in order for mainstream news to pick up on it. There's got to be somebody dead. Somebody's got to die. So if you're happen to be involved in a major, situation such as a terrorist attack, terrorist attack is kind of a hot button issue these days, but you got to have somebody dead. If you don't have anybody dead, there's just really not much to report here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, even when there are people dead, they won't report it. It just depends on where it's located at, sadly. Yeah,
exactly. Or better yet, there'll be a couple of people dead and the initial reports are way like super major hyper inflated.
Good times. We also have Theresa May with this is no shock. She was reelected to her seat, which, that's not a surprise whatsoever. Maidenhead, she will stay the member of parliament for Maidenhead in the United Kingdom, which, no shock. We'll see, though. Will she actually continue to be the prime minister? Don't know. Where will it go? I was having this conversation a little bit earlier today. I know a lot of people that do know what's going on, that actually have a sense of what's happening in the world and realizes, what's the show and what's real. A lot of people are still pulling for Corbyn and want Corbyn to win. And I do get that. But at the same time, I feel like, maybe it'll change, maybe it won't. I don't personally have much of a view, because at the end of the day, I don't live there. I'm not as educated as somebody that's living there and has to live with the consequences of it. What I can tell you is the effects that and the with the U.S. coalition and their foreign policy, which I do my best to keep up with pretty extensively, at least try to, and. If he's telling the truth and he's capable of following through, I think, again, that would be a great thing. You don't know. And that's a lot of what tonight's show is. It's just there's a lot going down that does not involve James Comey. And
well, again, it goes back to my original question I asked a little while ago. At the end of the day, what's the initial outcome going to be if one party gets elected versus the other, whether it be Corbyn versus Mose? I don't see where there's going to be a huge, massive difference on an international scale.
His rhetoric is very strong, and it's not even like Trump. It's not this. Yeah, okay, we'll kind of do it. I know Obama said it, and in fairness to what you're saying and what I've hinted at, it's just like, and we'll see, is look at what Obama said and look at what Obama promised. He straight up campaigned on having peace, getting out of war, we're going to change everything. And what ended up happening in reality was a completely, completely, completely different thing.
Well, and to be fair, our current president had some very strong words to say about Saudi Arabia, and we just saw pictures of him a couple of weeks ago kissing the ring.
Not only that, do you realize some of the stuff that he said about the U.S. involvement in Syria? How he would go on these tweet tirades about it, where it's none of our business, it's a waste of money, it's an embarrassment to our country. Obama
was correct. He was correct. Absolutely.
He was correct. Oh, no, I completely agree with the sentiments at the time when he was saying it, because it was true.
And that's just some shit he was saying. Let's go ahead and be honest about that, because what were we just talking about a moment ago?
Right. Oh, yeah. And it's ramped up. And you even have somebody like Obama now that acts like he was just some huge advocate, never did any of this stuff, which he clearly did. Like, they create their own reality, and they feel like just because they've said it, then that has now become the true representation of their legacy and what really.
You're talking about Hillary Clinton as an activist.
But it's any politician. It's not to pick on Barack Obama. He certainly does it. but it's every politician. It's what they do. It's the nature of the game. Is they're professional shysters. They're not in the
That's business. It. They you know, try to appeal to a certain brand of voter, and then they kind of whittle it down and sculpt it and mold it and try to get it into such a situation where they have their core supporters, but they've also kind of been a little bit flexed a little bit here. And, well, I'm going to be pretty hardline about this, but maybe I'll examine and look at this further. We saw this with Trump. Trump, if you remember, he came out both guns blazing early in the Republican primaries, got tag teamed by the party's two handpicked queens, as it were. And of course, he handled them, you know, just like that, just no problem at all. Let me go ahead and swat these little kids away and let me tell you what's really going to happen. And then as the campaigning, you know, kind of progressed a little bit, you know, some of his hardline answers weren't that hardline anymore. Some of his really, I mean, just some of the boldest exclamations that he made. Well, I don't know. We're going to dial that back a little bit and think about it. And, well, you know, I don't even know if this whole wall thing's going to go. Oh, remember, aren't we supposed to be working on a wall right now?
Yeah.
What happened with that?
I don't know. That's probably for the best, though.
I mean, we're talking about legacies and who campaigned on what. I mean, all of the stuff that Trump really just, I mean, and people were chanting it. This is it. We're finally going to get a wall, and we're going to get rid of this whole little nasty Mexican problem we keep having, you know?
Oh, well, that's certainly how it's painted.
And meanwhile, we're on George Bush's fifth term.
Yeah, but he's a lot more zany. Is that a good word for what Trump is?
Well, if you remember George Bush when he first ran, remember, man, he was such a media darling there for a while, and everybody was following him around on the golf course, and he'd always have some little funny little quip to say. He was actually a really funny guy when he first campaigned. And then he actually took office, and we saw exactly, you know, wasn't less than a year, exactly what he was all about.
Well, and that too, and you know, we don't have to go into this deeply because
he was extremely unpopular when 9/11 first happened, and suddenly his approval ratings went up, and we're all, you know, kind
of. Well, that's what the propaganda does. Everybody come together. That's, you know, salute the flag, and that's fine. That's what it's designed to do, and you know, people are scared. Once you have people living in their bubble of fear, you're able to convince them to do a lot of things that they would not normally allow. And I think that's one thing with Trump that, and even with the situation in the UK with the Brexit, I think you're seeing a lot of the left and the right splitting apart, you know, and they're really making it well known that I'm the left and I'm the right, whatever, you know, whatever it is you believe in. And people are it's becoming so like a religion to them. And of course, yes, politics has always been that way. It is
nothing. But those are just campaigning talking points. That's all they are.
Well, I'm talking about the people. I'm not talking about the politicians. We know what the politicians are, but I'm talking about the guy sitting in the coffee shop or the mechanic working on your car. It's social media. It's this underlying, everybody's questioning everybody. Oh, did you support Trump or you're against Trump? Oh, you're one of those. It's always you're one of those, whichever side it is. If it's for Trump, against Trump, oh, are you one of those? I can't trust you. You're one of those people.
And you can imagine the reactions that I get when I tell people straight up that I registered to vote and purposely did not vote, and then start listing off the reasons why. I've ended a lot of conversations within about 45 seconds to a minute, and that's with both sides, because they don't know how to take me. Hillary Clinton was an awful politician. Yeah, Donald Trump is a dumbass. Sorry. I mean, that's just the way I feel about it. the two absolute worst possible choices for president of the United States. I'm sorry. And
it was.
But at the same time, I still feel like we got the lesser of two evils.
I weirdly do, because at least this way, because look, I view it this way. We were screwed either way with both of the choices that were put in front of us. Sure, maybe somewhere there was some great idealistic candidate, but they weren't on the ticket. It wasn't going to happen. So the two choices in front of us, we got the most entertaining of the two. That's how I look at it. It was going to be really, really bad no matter what. Really bad. And the policies enacted by either one of them were going to be really, really bad. At least we get a really good fireworks show for it.
You know, as familiar as the two of them were, you kind of have to wonder, because we kind of anticipated a bloodbath when the two of them met in the debates. And it, I mean, there were some.
The first one didn't, but the second one was. I mean, the second one.
There were some good punches thrown, particularly from Trump towards Clinton. But I mean, there were times during the conversation that he really could have nailed her ass in the wall. Never really
delivered
that knockout punch, you know?
I disagree with that. And I'm going to tell you, there's two things that he did real quick that I think were the knockout punch. I think A was when he brought all of the Clinton victims and had his little show with them, which again, we had one.
That was
a pretty major call out. And the second one was
a major call out. And he didn't even acknowledge their presence. He just brought them in and sat them down, made sure their TV camera was pointed their direction, and went to town.
Oh, yeah. And then the second one, though, was what was it that Trump said? Something about, it's a good thing you aren't in charge, Hillary said. And he said, yeah, because you'd be in prison. I mean, you don't get that in every debate. That's pretty funny. I don't care who it is.
He could have done that, though, throughout the whole entire conversation. And not really just zany talking points, but really, I mean, bring to light some serious issues that the American voting public had with Hillary Clinton. That's why she didn't get elected president.
Okay, this is going to be out of date really, really quick. I'm going to go and give some more breaking news. While we're sitting here just kind of rambling about the past election, I'm trying to keep up with the election that's going on here. Right now, the current vote tallies is Labor's 193, the Conservatives are 183, the Scottish National Party is 29. And it goes down from there. But so basically it's 193 to 183 Labor.
Well, I'm going to pull for the Scottish National Party here.
Well, they've actually lost seats tonight to the Labor Party, which Scotland votes very strongly Labor. But recently there was definitely a resurgence of the SNP. And especially when they had their vote to break away from the United Kingdom, which did not happen. And it's still rumored that it could still happen. I was just sitting here wondering to myself what this says about the future of that, if this is going to, with more seats going Labour in Scotland, if this means that that's just kind of going to be shut down. We'll see again. We're learning a lot tonight, and we're going to find out coming up soon what it's all going to mean. One thing that we do know, we were just talking about the U.S. election, and it's the parts of it that were humorous, because it's all you can do with any of this crap is just laugh at it, because if not, you'd be in the corner weeping. But I want to mention this again. This is a breaking story that we brought up at the top of the show is what appears to be white phosphorus. I encourage everybody. It's you know, not a graphic scene. I'm sure if you saw where these were landing, it would be absolutely horrendous, and it would be extremely graphic. But if you go to the antimedia.org right now, tonight in Syria, it appears that what could be U.S. coalition forces, somebody is dropping white phosphorus. And the Air Force in the region is you know who. So it's unlikely that it would be somebody else anything's always possible, but it is all roads kind of lead to this is somebody involved with us doing this. We're going to definitely pay attention to it closely, and tomorrow we will have a more in-depth report about what's happening in Syria tonight. Sadly, Shannon, are people going to care one way or another? We've seen the U.S. attacking Syria today, which nobody paid it to, before what's happening tonight. Nobody paid any attention to it because Comey, it happened on Tuesday. It got a little bit. People kind of talked about it for a second, but that was kind of the end of it. And, you know, it didn't go anywhere. You didn't get outrage from people. You didn't get how dare. And what's so crazy is you didn't get people going, how dare Trump? How dare Trump? It's like, y'all make all this stuff up about the man and hate him for it because he's a buffoon, which fair enough to his buffoonery. And, you know, being bothered by him, I don't trust him. Who trusts him? Not me. But when you get something that's like super real, that's super, that's okay. It's now's the time to say something, everybody. This is what you, the moment you've been waiting for. Nobody says anything.
They just continue. Something to actually truly be morally outraged about.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean,
We're gonna stay glued to the TV with this Comey thing, and then we're gonna find out there's nothing there and start flipping channels.
Right,
and, you know, that's where we're at with this thing, man. If you can't get it to hold somebody's attention for more than 15, 20 minutes, you forget about it. It ain't gonna happen.
Well, people are definitely on the bandwagon of, you know, this passionate hate for Trump, and the Trump supporters definitely have their passionate support for him. But to the people that hate him, I say, pay attention to what's going on in the world, because you're going to get your opportunity. Again, tonight, if what we're seeing does turn out to be what it appears to be, that is a war crime, a massive war crime, which is happening under Donald Trump is the president of the United States. The media is not, and you're going to get, well, why don't the media say that? Because Barack Obama, everybody's Nobel Peace Prize candidate, bombed 8 countries that we know of, and they didn't say a word about it. So they're not going to say anything about this. You have to remember, when everybody's Hillary Clinton, which, again, I still think everybody hated her guts, and I think the election kind of proved me right, but people still pretend that, oh, should have been better. She openly was saying she was going to do this stuff. She was, at least Trump, you know, well, I say at least, Trump lied to everybody, said he wasn't going to do it. Hillary said she was going to do it. She said what she was going to do in Syria. She said that she had that.
Well, and as Secretary of State, I'd like to think that she probably had a hand in the 26,171 bombs that were dropped in 2016.
Well, she wasn't Secretary of State in 2016.
Oh, well, right, but you know what I'm saying. In years previous, though, that was, you know, the bombing campaigns, as they really began to ramp up in the Obama administration, she was at her hand in it.
Well, she took credit for Gaddafi, even though, of course, when that story first came out, it was, we didn't have anything to do with it. The United States doesn't have anything to do with this whatsoever. This is an uprising. The people are frustrated. It's a continuation of the Arab Spring, yada, yada, yada. People hate Gaddafi. They got rid of it. A few months pass, and Hillary's just completely taking credit for it.
Two thumbs up.
We came, we saw, he died. Ha, ha, ha. She was a proud warmonger. Proud of it. She was much more like the Bushes, I think, than any candidate we've seen in a while, other than just the hardest of neocons, John McCain types. I don't know if you saw John McCain today. I'll say this. I mean, it was actually sad, and I am not a fan of John McCain, but it was just like, you got to retire. He didn't even act like he knew.
Yeah,
he
was. There was a little bit of chatter about that. His performance was lackluster. Is probably a nice way of putting it.
And
seemed like he was absolutely confused.
You know? He really makes a case for some sort of term limits or something here. You can't have these lifers. Cause I think whatever was said, he was reading, like he didn't know what was going on. And I'm the can't stand him. But it was just like, somebody's got to do something about this. Like somebody's got to come out there and shut him up. This is
kind of had one of those. What was Ross Perot's running mate, Admiral Stockdale?
Yeah,
had one of those Stockdale moments. I don't even know why I'm here.
Oh yeah, I don't know if he knew. So I guess we've just got a couple minutes left here. I'm anticipating, and I'm excited to see what happens in the UK tonight. Just again, when you're talking politics, and how many times have I gone a show without comparing it to the WWE, because that's what it is. But
I mean, you know, it really does. All of the different bit players that we've discussed, it's almost really like we've been running down the roster of WWE Raw, and this one's beefing with this one, and this one's not really, you know, the big champion that he thinks he is, and so on and so forth.
Well, you know, I think that's what it is. But I am curious to see how it plays out in the UK, just for the theater of it. I know that probably it bothers a lot of people because they're like, people's lives are on the line. Yeah,
you're talking about for the Intercontinental Belt. Yeah,
That's what it is. But, you know, when was the last time you saw a politician that said all this wonderful stuff and they came in and they did any of it? And
again, that's why I've repeatedly asked, do you really honestly think that it's going to make a difference one way or the other, what the outcome of the UK election?
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, on an international scale, particularly with the relationship with the UK and the United States, I don't see any change there whatsoever. I don't,
but I will say this for it. If I was pressed, I would say, no, I don't think there will be a change, because that's just how it is. But we have seen so much crazy stuff in the past 2 years. I think anything's possible at this point. Like, I think we've reached that point where it's just like the thing you expect not to happen is going to happen. Especially because everything up to this point, I believe, with the establishment has been so predictable. Like, you knew Brexit was a shock for sure. And I know a lot of people think Trump was a shock, but the moment that Hillary Clinton became the nominee, it was not. But the Brexit, I think, was a surprise. And I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens.
I know exactly what's going to happen. Wu-Tang Clan already did a song about it. It's called Cash Rules Everything Around Me. Cream, it's the money, dollar, dollar bill, y'all. That's all I got to say about it.
I think that is sadly the most spot on statement you're going to get when discussing politics, whether people want to reference the Wu-Tang Clan or not, as opposed to, you know, some scholar or some, you know, whatever, who cares.
I'm sorry, that's some knowledge right there. You talk about scholar all you want to. If that's not knowledge, I don't know.
What it is. You know, it's not Gore at all, but it's about as true as and accurate as you're going to get when discussing politics. And I don't care.
I don't think Gore Vidal is Gore Vidal, but whatever.
Well, he ain't the Wu-Tang Clan.
No, he's not the RZA, the GZA, or the Old Dirty Bastard.
So we got, here it goes, just a few minutes left. The next time we talk to you, we will know the results of tonight's election in the UK. We'll have more on Syria. For Shannon, I am SM Gibson. Thank you for listening to Anti-Media Radio. Jake is coming up next. Anti-Media Radio out.
I'ma let him know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
This is JJ Inc. from Against the Wall, and you're listening to UCY.com.